All summer long, we've been talking about how it didn't feel like summer. As summer's into its final days here, there was, you know, some cooler days. And then when it did get hot, it was so hazy from smoke, you couldn't really enjoy it. And it was off and on all summer long. But it's coming to an end this weekend in a way that I think is perfect, because it got really soggy last weekend and kind of stalled the harvest. But I think the fields will be ripping it up here this weekend and into next, as the weather seems to be on our side this last weekend of summer. And hopefully you and your harvest plans continue to roll on. Harvest is around 53% done now. The southwest quarter is where they're almost done. But overall, we're behind the five-year average of 73% here. So we need this milder, drier weather to get rolling again. And as I mentioned, even next week, highs 23 to 25 and mainly sunny. So it's looking good here. How's your weekend looking? Got any plans? What's everyone doing? 1-877-300-7275. Shoot me a text. Part of our weekend plan is to head out to the lake, help haul in the dock, clean up the boat, bring it in for the season. It's another sign that summer's over, that's for sure, when you have to do that. High school football is in full action this weekend here, too. Last night, there was one game. Tom beat Balfour. And tonight, I know if you have kids at Campbell, the big tailgate barbecue and Campbell homecoming football game, as they're calling it, against Winston-Knoll, kicks the evening off at Libel Field tonight, 5:15, and then Miller and Leboldus at Libel. A couple of games over at Mosaic tonight, too. You've got O'Neill and Riffle, then Johnson against Sheldon Williams. But it's been going well. Football got an early start with exhibition games. And the rivalries are already starting to build, and that's a biggie tonight between Campbell and Winston-Knoll. So should be a lot of fun over at Libel Field. Hockey is back. WHL returns. Our Pats, though, on the road in Swift tonight. And I believe your Moose Jaw Warriors, they're on the road tonight, too, in Brandon. Home opener for the Pats is next week. Coming up a little later on here this morning, Coach Brad Haroff from the Regina Pats is going to pop by and give us his insight into the new season. It's been a rough one the last couple for the Pats, near the bottom the last two seasons. But, you know, their team is starting to mature a lot more. And got some 18-year-olds and the 20-year-olds back here. And now with Maddox Schultz and Liam Pugh as well coming in for at least 30, 34 games. There's a little more excitement around the Pats. We'll talk to the coach about that. Our Riders are idle on the bye week. But get this, the Riders could actually clinch a home playoff game this weekend without even playing. Oh, we need a lot to happen for that. But yeah, if BC, Winnipeg, and Edmonton all lose, that would secure either the West Final or West Semifinal to be played at Mosaic. Again, BC, Winnipeg, Edmonton, they all have to lose. Some of the headlines we're following this morning. Looks like Saskatchewan is standing apart from other provinces this fall because Alberta and Quebec are going to be introducing fees for COVID-19 vaccines, and they could cost them between $100 to $180. Meanwhile, SaskHealth says shots for now are going to stay free here in our province. It won't be long before flu shots are going to be made available too. Our Prime Minister Mark Carney off in Mexico trying to expand trade ties there ahead of this Kuzma free trade deal that is no doubt going to get a makeover eventually next year. So Canada did $56 billion worth of trade with Mexico last year, and Carney's hoping to expand upon that by beefing up our port market, expanding ports so the trade doesn't have to go through the U.S. And our Premier, Scott Moe, is going to be joining the Evan Bray Show a little later this morning at 8:30. I'm going to be curious to hear how he feels now that Ontario Premier Doug Ford has said in writing he's adamant, hoping Carney does not drop the EV tariff on China in order to save jobs out east. Of course, we see it a little differently here. This is it. This is kind of the first crack I'm seeing here, in my opinion. All the premiers were buddy-buddy, you know, stand together under the new prime minister, but a bit of a rift developing here. So we'll see how Premier Scott Moe reacts. I'm if you're laying low this weekend, maybe just to recharge the batteries, do a little channel surfing from the couch, stream something. A few of the highlights. I was looking to see what's going on here on Netflix. It's the streaming premiere of 28 Years Later. The movie that came out a few months ago is on Netflix on Sunday evening. There, of course, is Sunday Night Football. Good matchup, the Giants and the Chiefs. And on at the same time, if you flip over to CBS Sunday Night, there's a Grammy salute to Earth, Wind, and Fire, one of my favorite R&B bands. It's called The 21st Night of September. Yeah, it's the 21st on Sunday. And apparently it's a concert that was recorded from the Hollywood Bowl with special guests like Stevie Wonder and a few others. But that's on Sunday night. And on Paramount Plus, the third season premiere of Tulsa King with Sylvester Stallone is going to drop on Sunday. I love that series. The first season was hilarious. Second season was good. I'm curious to see this third season. I'll continue to watch it. I do like it. But as much as I like Tulsa King, it's nowhere near as good as Landman with Billy Bob Thornton. Man, that show, the first season, I loved it. But we still got to wait till about the middle of November for that one to return on Paramount Plus. Oh, by the way, there's the Battle of the Prairies this weekend, too. The 3-0 U of R Rams headed up Highway 11 today to face off against the 2-1 Huskies in Saskatoon. Kickoff tonight is 7 o'clock. I love seeing how the Rams are doing. Dominating here this year. Home to the Vanier Cup. Man, wouldn't that be something if this is their year? Sure hope so. Our Regina Thunder are doing well, too. They're on the road this weekend to Winnipeg Sunday, facing off against the Rifles there. Yesterday, we had a lot of conversation about tailgating. Possibility of it seems to be coming together, courtesy of the province, the riders working with them, the city. Again, Evan Bray is having Premier Scott Moe on later on this morning after the 8:30 news. Maybe he'll chat a little about this too, what it'll take to get tailgating in our province. But it's interesting. Yesterday, if you missed it on the Green Zone, they had TSN CFL insider Dave Naylor offering his 2 cents about whether or not there should be tailgating. And, you know, he came from Buffalo yesterday ahead of that Bills game last night. But that was a good game there, too. But Naylor was talking about how tailgating is taking off with the Argos. It could work here.
I mean, the Argos actually have a pretty decent tailgate that started organically. And it's been what I've been sort of led to believe is they're allowed to do it. They're not allowed to advertise and promote it, you know what I mean? But if it just happens organically. And I think there's got to be a big difference between what I would call staged tailgating, like what they tried to do for the Bills in Toronto series, what the Argos tried to do at BMO their first couple of years, where you're selling beer in the parking lot, and you've got a licensed area, and yeah, it's that thing, as opposed to showing up with a case of beer on your bumper, which is true tailgate. I think that's huge for Saskatchewan. I think, honestly, it's one of the things as growing up in my teens and 20s that I looked at to really define the difference between going to an NFL game and going to a CFL game. We didn't tailgate. I think it's great to see the CFL catching up on this.
It would definitely work here in Saskatchewan. Just listening to some of the Green Zone supporters yesterday on the phone with Jamie and Locker. Everyone's chomping at the bit to get this. So I think it has to come together next season now that the Riders have put it out there. Season ticket holders will get first dibs on it, but still, it could grow into something pretty big. Hey, coming up next half hour, I'll dive into the Jimmy Kimmel story again here, because last night, all the late night talk show hosts, the ones that are left, had something to say. And again, it's not always just about free speech on this one. There is a lot of rich people behind the scenes who are worried about losing lots of money if they don't support Donald Trump. And that's part of the story, too, that we're going to dive in. That is the true story behind the scenes of Jimmy Kimmel that's developed here. And I'll dive into that about 6:20. And you'll hear what everyone said last night. A little more with Shep coming up here, too. Well, a lot less soggy, and it's dried up a lot. I think the fields are going to be a little bit busier this weekend. Harvest is definitely behind from where it normally is this time of the year, but the forecast is looking brighter. What's it like on your farm? 1-877-300-7275. Are you hit the fields again this weekend? Sure hope It's in your favor. Lots of reaction the day after the icing of Jimmy Kimmel on ABC. This was a hot topic yesterday everywhere, including the Evan Bray Show, which later today starts at 8:30 with the premier, Scott Moe, right out of the gate. But wherever I went yesterday, it was either up on the television or it was on the radio, or it was even just I was at the grocery store for a moment and someone said, what do you think of Jimmy Kimmel here being iced? Well, it was all for upsetting the FCC for a joke he told that was deemed too much for some after the death of Charlie Kirk. And President Trump was one of the first to jab yesterday from England.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel was fired because he had bad ratings more than anything else. And he said a horrible thing about a great gentleman known as Charlie Kirk. And Jimmy Kimmel is not a talented person. He had very bad ratings and they should have fired him a long time ago. So, you know, you can call that free speech or not.
Not telling me there anything I didn't expect for him to say. But last night I expected, of course, the last man standing in the late night talk show realm would support Jimmy. And I was right.
This morning I woke up to 100 text messages from my dad saying, I'm sorry they canceled your show. I go, that's not me. That's Jimmy Kimmel.
That's Jimmy Fallon who poked fun, but also showed support.
To be honest with you all, I don't know what's going on, and no one does. But I do know Jimmy Kimmel, and he's a decent, funny, and loving guy, and I hope he comes back.
Meanwhile, Stephen Colbert had a little fun in supporting him as he joked while holding his Emmy, the one that he had won last weekend for Best Late Night Talk Show.
And to Jimmy, just let me say, I stand with you and your staff 100%, and also, you couldn't let me enjoy this for like 1 week. Just come on.
Yeah, with his Emmy in hand there. From there, he went on to share this video for Disney employees in light of the decision to drop Kimmel by the Disney company. It's Colbert singing as Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast.
Shut your trap. Shut your trap. We're warning you to cut the crap. Our dear leader's skin is thinner than a sheet of plastic wrap. Mum's the word, have you heard? Kissing ass is what's preferred. Don't insult our great dictator, or he'll hit you with this turd. The new rule at ABC, don't make fun of Donny T. And don't point out that his neck is mostly flat. So don't you make a scene or mention Jeff Epstein. Or your show will be scrapped. Shut your trap.
Shut up.
Earlier in the day yesterday, David Letterman happened to be giving a chat and a roundtable discussion with some people in attendance. He chimed in on Kimmel's suspension when he was asked about it.
I feel bad about this because we all see where this is going, correct? It's managed media. It's no good. It's silly. It's ridiculous. And you can't go around firing somebody because you're fearful or trying to suck up to an authoritarian, a criminal administration in the Oval Office. That's just not how this works.
David Letterman. Now, Eddie, as for whether or not Disney gives Jimmy Kimmel a green light to come back, after all they said originally, they pulled the show indefinitely. It wasn't actually canceled. However, I suspect Kimmel would never come back now to ABC. I'm sure they would tell him he'd have to soften up on Trump, and I don't see him doing that. But the fact of the matter is, this all comes down to now a decision that will be made by Disney, who owns ABC Television, because Disney CEO Bob Iger finds himself now in the position where he needs the Trump administration's approval for a big business deal he's been working on. Because Disney wants to acquire another streaming service called Fubo, and they need the Trump Justice Department to approve the deal because there's concern that this deal would consolidate too much sports streaming in one company. So the Disney head, Bob Iger, is going to have to make a decision that could put him at odds with the Trump administration or even at odds with the principle about whether or not a government should be pushing private companies to cancel speech they don't like. Let's face it, that's what happened, right? When the Trump-appointed head of the FCC went on a podcast, criticized Kimmel for his comments over Charlie Kirk, and then he, on that podcast, called on all local TV stations, stop airing Kimmel's show. The head of the FCC. He even called on Disney to take action, and obviously they all did, including the biggest owner of all the local U.S. television stations. They heeded the FCC guy's advice to ice Jimmy because, well, they're in the midst of trying to buy another broadcaster, its biggest rival, that also owns local TV stations. And they need that FCC CEO to be on their side because the deal's worth over $6 billion. So that's why The local station owners immediately listened to the FCC guy's request. Dump Kimmel. Corporate deals and money. More important than free speech here, there's just too much money to be made by a lot of very rich men who need Trump's approval to make it right now. And that's the real story behind the Jimmy Kimmel controversy, quite honestly, right now. We got a busy weekend coming up here. If you're looking for something to do, I've got a list here that I just started compiling. I was looking around here over the Kramer IMAX Theater. They're showing Apollo 13. Apparently, it's the 30th anniversary of that movie with Tom Hanks, and they're showing it on the big screen of the IMAX this weekend. There's a big rock and gem show on at the Regina Senior Center. Man, when my girls were young, they loved going to those shows. And I could never believe that I was roaming around a bunch of rocks with my kids. But they loved it. The RSO opens up a new season tomorrow night. Start of a year-long tribute to the maestro himself, Gordon Gerard. It's his final season with the RSO after 10 years. And Regina's own Karen Donnelly, great trumpeter, is part of the show tomorrow. Returning to Regina. Oh, and this is really cool, too. You could meet former NFL, CFL star from Regina, John Ryan, along with the rest of the inductees to the Saskatchewan Sports Hall of Fame. This weekend, there's a big gala. It's sold out. But tomorrow, there's an open house at the Sports Hall of Fame from noon till 4. And all of those being inducted will be there about 1:30, I think, signing autographs. So that's kind of a cool event you could check out tomorrow. A few moments ago, I was talking about the reaction to Jimmy Kimmel. The other thing that I started to see here, too, is how supporters are taking to social media, posting screenshots of proof of their Disney Plus subscription being canceled. Stick it to Disney, they say. If you're a fan of Kimmel, that's what you should be doing. In fact, Regina's own Tatiana Maslany, who played She-Hulk, which is on Disney Plus Network, she even posted on social media urging her fans to cancel their subscription, too. You know what? I'm a Jimmy Kimmel fan. And I'm sad to see him be iced like this. But I'm sorry. I will not be canceling my Disney Plus subscription to back him up. I'm too busy trying to get through all the episodes of this Twisted Tale of Amanda Knox. Very good. And this new Alien Earth series, also on Disney Plus. Very cool. So I'm not going to be canceling in support. I'm just saying. There has been a lot of discussion of whether or not the Elbows Up campaign has been a good thing or a bad thing. And in the eyes of the U.S. Ambassador to Canada, who was in Halifax yesterday, the Elbows Up campaign was insulting. Pete Hoekstra was on the defense of accusing Canada of playing hardball yesterday in Halifax. He was at a chamber meeting there. He said, this isn't war, it's negotiation. And he took aim at politicians who tell Canadians not to go to the U.S. or even buy American booze.
I'm disappointed that I came to Canada, a Canada that it is very, very difficult to find Canadians who are passionate about the American-Canadian relationship. You ran a campaign where it was anti-American, elbows up, you know, it was an anti-American campaign. And that has continued. That's disappointing.
Yeah, I get what he's saying. I kind of feel I understand that, but at the same time, I don't think he really feels what most Canadians being insulted by all the things Trump was saying about the 51st state. So I understand it from both sides, but I just feel that he's looking at it purely from the U.S. side. And there's a lot of Canadians that felt it was a giant insult. So I can understand both sides, quite honestly. But hey, coming up a little later on, you know, just a moment ago, I was telling you all the things you can do this weekend. Another is the Regina Pats are back, but you'd have to go to Swift to watch their opener tonight. But stick around because Coach Brad Haroff is going to join me with a bit of a conversation on not only how the Pats are looking, we'll talk about Maddox Schultz and Liam Pugh being at it for 34 games. And also I asked him, too, about his take for Connor McDavid not having signed yet. For you Oiler fans. So chat with the coach coming up after the 7 o'clock news today.